Wendy, who's feistier than Eric Zorn? Anybody? Can you think of anybody? I
can't think of a single soul.
Nobody is. Eric Zorn is the fountain of feist. He writes for the Chicago Tribune.
I love it.
I trademarked that.
Go ahead. Feel free. Eric, you wanted to talk about email etiquette, and we're here for you.
Oh, I just thought it was an interesting story. You know, with all the other stuff going on, there was an essay in New York Magazine by Dana Evans. And the headline on it is, "It's time to stop writing, 'I hope you're well,'"
oh,
in emails.
Oh.
And
I do it all the time.
I do, too. I read this and I with a shock of recognition and shame that this is, it is like the have a nice day of emails.
But wait, should, is she saying only in email form? Like if you still write a regular letter sent, you know.
Who does, who, I don't know. I would have no idea what you even mean by that, Bill. Who writes regular
letters
anymore?
Are those days gone? Anymore? Are those days totally gone? Because it
Let's
was standard.
Thank you someone for a birthday gift, right?
For a long time, and I know this goes back to an era long, long forgotten, but you would say earlier in the letter, "I hope this note finds you in the best of health," you know, things like that.
So I like that.
Yeah.
That's kind of nice and formal and,
yeah,
and
old worldly.
Old worldly, yes.
Yeah.
But yes, I trust that this epistle finds you reposing on your country estate in fine fettle.
It seems like a nice thing to do, though, because especially like with Facebook and stuff, when you're reaching out to people you haven't talked to in a while, you feel the need to say, I hope you're well.
Yeah.
Well, she refers to them as empty words. She says it's a scourge on email correspondence, a hollow greeting that has come to mean nothing. I'd sooner write the first line of Finnegan's Wake backwards and in Pig Latin than "I hope you're well."
Wow.
The expression has rendered itself so benign and overuse that our brains are now programmed to ignore it, skipping directly to the point of the email, which, if the text "I hope you're well" is any indication, is probably a request for a favor.
Okay, except couldn't you make that same argument about just everyday speech when you see somebody, the phrase, "How you doing? How are you? How's everybody
exactly
in your family?" We do that all the time.
And "have a nice day," "have a nice weekend,"
sure,
and things like that. Yeah, there are all these things that are like sort of conversational lubricants. And I guess the argument is that you really don't need them in email anymore. And this actually leads into the conversation about email sign-offs. How do you end your emails?
Please don't contact me anymore. I say that all the time.
I'm on to you.
Right. Right.
I just signed my name. Like, right. And you know, I'm notorious for this, where if you're calling to thank somebody, "thanks again," even though I've said thank you in the first sentence, it's like it's a nice little wrap up. So thanks again, Wendy.
Wendy. Just Wendy.
Yeah.
Not Wendy's. Yeah.
I don't put any kind of "yours truly" or "nothing but the best in the future." I don't do any of that. Do you?
Well, I have been guilty of using "best" a lot.
Oh.
That doesn't,
I mean, I do a lot of
all
email.
The best or just best?
Best wishes, best regards.
Well, "best" is short for "best regards," "best wishes."
Yeah.
I don't
and,
like that.
And there's, well, this is, and this is, there's another article. This is from a year and a half ago in Bloomberg Business Week. "You're ending your emails wrong. Why best is actually the worst." It's completely unnecessary and ubiquitous.
It's assumed, right?
Yeah,
it's assumed,
well,
you wish them best wishes.
And this all comes from the age when we would do actual written correspondence, where you would end, you know, "trusting that this letter finds you well."
Right.
"I remain your faithful servant."
Right.
comma.
Do you ever see movies or read in books from an era ago where people at the end, like if they were mad at somebody, let's say I was mad at you, at the end of our conversation I would say, "Good day, sir."
Good day. I said good day. Yes.
Like that's an angry, like you're wishing them well, but you're saying it angrily. Angrily.
Let's say
good
it's,
day, Eric Zorn.
It's in Willy Wonka, the first Willy Wonka movie, I believe, is where that was revived.
At the end.
Where he says, you know, "good day," and the person keeps complaining, and he looks up and he goes, "I said good day.
Good day, sir." Yes.
And I actually have used that in emails, too. But the question is, you know, are we falling into these same traps as email writers that we mm-hmm. fall into in regular conversation? And again, you know, when you see somebody, "hey, how are you doing? Hello." I mean, you don't actually really.
But it's a conversation starter, even though you don't really care about how that person is feeling. And if let's say I said to you, "Wendy, how you doing?" And you go, "oh, my shoulder." And then you told me a story about your shoulder. At some point, I would nod off.
You'd be right? Hearing, "wah, wah, 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 wah."
I have numerous friends that end emails or posts with "regards."
Regards.
Yeah. I don't like that either.
That's a little more formal.
But do they really mean it? It's just put your name.
Well, there was a list that Forbes generated of 89 possible email sign-offs.
Oh.
You know, like, see you around and have a bountiful day.
That's the one. That's the one you should use.
I'm going to start have a bountiful day.
See what happens.
Can I just put bountiful at the end?
XOXOXO.
Oh, I like that.
Well, here's one that I have used, but it seems a little affected to me. Cheers. You ever use cheers?
Cheers seems very Australian or British to me.
Yes,
they always like to say cheers.
Mate.
Right.
A lot of people use chow.
Yours truly?
Chow.
Chow, yeah. Chow is the same feeling, like you're appropriating somebody else's culture. Warmly, take care.
Warm
regards.
Not in the summer.
Yeah.
It's too hot for warm regards.
Stay cool, how's that?
That's better.
Yeah, or how about a smiley face?
How about just your name?
Yeah, that's all.
I use
or
my,
somebody else's name.
I often use my
Deborah.
I just
put
wrote,
that at the end of mine.
I just wrote to before coming down. I wrote a note to the spokesman of the Chicago Police Department, and I signed off with my initials, just EZ. If we were friends, I would probably, like, if I send you guys a note, I'd probably just sign it with my initial E.
Sure.
Is I don't that, like when people do that,
is that
either.
Too, is that a little bit too much? Because sometimes it seems like it might be too much. It might be a little too familiar. Like, that's something you maybe reserve for.
Put your name. You have a name. Use your name.
Think
you
of all
don't
the time.
It.
But think of all the time a busy man like Eric Zorn saves by not putting the RIC at the end of the
and
E.
And the space?
Yeah, it
I
takes
mean,
forever.
It's like, you know, we're
you
talking about six letters plus a space, and I've saved that over and over again. It's it's practically like a new life for me. I've learned the cello in that time. So.
I do have an annoying thing that I sign every email with. I use a lowercase W for Wendy, and I always put a period at the end of my name. And I don't know why, but I just like.
Oh.
I always
why
do that.
Lowercase?
I just like the way it looks better than a capital.
Really?
Big is
Wait.
So obtrusive.
Oh my goodness!
The big W,
the big capital W. It is a huge letter.
It's gigantic.
It really is.
And it always wants to autocorrect me on my phone to capitalize in it, and I keep saying no. I'm good with this. Lowercase Wendy.
Listen to your phone, Wendy. Is my there's something about lowercasing something that seems a little bit.
Affected,
or falsely modest.
Oh,
you're Wendy Snyder. That should be big.
No,
that should be all caps.
You should have a logo, like a full fledged logo with your name in glittery
just be
letters,
a giant mouth
in neon glittery letters. If you think about it, so many of the things that we use as a quick greeting or as a quick sign off are really unnecessary. Here's the one that comes to mind almost immediately. Whenever my wife is driving away somewhere, or now my daughters, I will say as they're leaving, "Drive safely." As if that would not have occurred to them if I had not said that when they're leaving. Like,
they
stop you know
and
what?
Back up. Did you say drive safely?
You
or?
Know what? Maybe I will drive safely.
Yeah, but
I'm sure.
You'll regret it if they get
well,
in an accident. I know.
Is you're
I did
tricking
it Saturday.
Yourself. Like, if they were to get in an accident, I'll go, oh, it was the one time I didn't remind them to drive safely. Why didn't I do it?
Yeah, people say, like, safe travels, have a safe trip home. Like,
I say that all the time.
There's not much I can do about this.
Right. Tell the pilot that.
But it calms
if he's
your
not drunk.
Nerves. And maybe, you know, because I said that to Jim on Saturday. He was just driving to Wheeling. It wasn't even that far.
Right.
And I said, drive safely. And he just laughed at me.
Like he was going to.
But he'll think of me in my face when he's going to, like, cut someone off, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he's going to cut someone off.
Right.
I don't know.
That's an interesting thought. Yeah, it's like, why do we tell people things like
they
that?
They know they're going to drive safely.
I think some of this stuff is just we're trying to sort of fill these spaces in a conversation. I've tried, because I thought that this makes the most sense, is there's no need for a salutation in an email, dear so-and-so,
sure.
whatever, because it's obvious who the letter's to. You've put it in the to line in the email, so it's obvious. And then they know who it's from because it's in the from line.
But
so,
even
but
word... my email address... is not like Wendy Snyder. It's something else. So they may not know it's from me.
But even the word dear, when you stop and think about it, many of the people you've written letters to aren't really dear to you.
No.
They're like, dear sir, madam, why do you do that? Hello, dear sir and madam.
You're so dear to me.
Sounds so foppish, doesn't it?
Yours.
Yes, to whom it may concern.
Right, that's better.
I put hey all the time.
Hey, but isn't hey a little bit too informal for some?
It depends. If it's a serious email or letter, it's dear. I do. But like to
what if
hey,
it's
Bill.
To Fed Albert?
Then I do hey,
hey, hey, hey.
Hey,
hey. Hey, hey.
I will do the first name, comma, body of the letter. And I've tried, like I said, I've experimented with this, but I can't emotionally get away from from salutations and sign-offs. I can't right. do that. It feels too abrupt.
You're pre-programmed.
It feels cold.
Truly yours. That's yes. what you should use.
Yeah. Well, but try with that. Nothing. I'm saying with nothing. With absolutely nothing. Just finishing the letter. Like I had a friend in college who would write to me, and he would sign off. His last line was, "This letter is over, comma, Bruce." Which I thought was
right.
perfect. It's like that's
he
actually,
nailed it.
That's I just actually, do like --, Wendy. Because that's like
lowercase
done.
Wendy.
Yes.
Yeah. Lowercase yeah. W.
Period. At the end.
But these are all things that we don't even think about though, in general. Yep. It's like they're just like they're pre-programmed text strings you plug in.
Eric Zorn is here. He's our dear friend, as you know. We're at 312-981-7200. Call us or text us. Be polite. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
We are talking to the Fountain of Feist. His name is Eric Zorn, the Feisty Tribune columnist, Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder. And did we want to switch gears here, Eric?
Yeah, let's switch gears. There's a story in the paper over the weekend. Actually, it wasn't. I don't even think it was in the paper. I'm not positive. It was online, certainly.
Yeah.
And it was by Megan Crapaud, who's one of our fine young reporters, and she's one of the people who goes out to shootings and things, the overnight reporters.
Mm-hmm.
And she filed a report from the 7100 block of South Paulina Street, and this was an aftermath of a shooting. And she just describes this hour-long, kind of standoff between young men in the neighborhood and the police. And the young men are heckling her, heckling the police, yelling at them. Let's see, you're a traitor, you're bogus as hell, one of them said to the police. They're taunting them, saying, F the police.
And the police at this point are just doing their job and following up.
Yeah, they are, there was a bit, one of them saying, I'm going to beat your ass, I'm going to, tase me, I'll embarrass you, tase me, I'll sue you, get the F off my block, put your little ass guns back in the holster, your mama's a bee, and just sort of taunting the police who were there to try to solve a crime. And it was a, just one of those stories you realize that in all these stories about police shootings, and we had a big package on it over the weekend, the Tribune, that out there on the streets, these police officers really undergo a lot of abuse, just sort of routine abuse from these. And they were dishing back a little bit to these guys.
Yeah.
There's a short video that accompanies the story. It's on the Tribune website. And it shows the police, I think, showing a lot of restraint. They're sort of standing there taking it from these guys.
Which they shouldn't have to do.
Well, yeah, I mean, they shouldn't have to do it, but they should do it.
Yes.
And they do a good job. And you realize that. If you put yourself in their position, here they are. It's the middle of the night. They're down at 71st and Paulina, what I said the address earlier. They're down there in the middle of the night trying to solve a murder. This is like, they're trying to.
They're doing their job.
They're doing their job. And these guys are taunting them, yelling at them. And they're thinking, here I am. My life is on the line. I've got a bulletproof vest. I've got all this stuff going on. And just the amount of stuff that they have to put up with that we don't. See, and we don't really realize that the kind of friction that they're feeling out there, and it's really a terror. You read the story, and you think, man, I'm glad that those people are out there. I'm glad, and those people in the neighborhood. I'm sure that most of the people in that neighborhood are glad that they're there. They're glad that they're trying to solve those
yeah.
crimes, but then they're having to deal with this kind of abuse. And one of the reasons that the story even made the paper was that some gunshots were then fired by somebody to try to divert them and get them to run away from the scene to investigate the gunshots that had been fired. So it was just one of those stories that really caught my eye. I don't think it was in the Sunday paper. I think it got bumped out for other news.
I don't know where I saw it, but
it was
on
online.
Twitter,
it was online. It was ChicagoTribune.com, and it's Megan Crapaud. It's a powerful story. And the funny thing is that it came out right around the same time as this story about Rhymefest. The rapper. Do you
yeah.
know about that story where he was robbed on the South Side. He went into a police station with his video camera and he videotaped the sort of disrespect that he received in trying to report this crime. So these two stories come out at the same time. Like one is these cops at a police station kind of giving this African-American guy kind of a hard time when he's coming in to report a crime, and then you see the kind of things that the police are dealing with, and the relations between the police and the community down there, well, in a lot of these poor neighborhoods, let's say, is really poor, and it's dismaying to read about it. And
there's a couple of related stories. Story number one took place in Kentucky last week, where some police officers were in a fast food restaurant and they were refused service. And then once they negotiated some service, one of the people behind the counter said that they were going to mess with their food, with the cops' food. Yeah. The other one is that police recruitment numbers here in Chicago, and you had a feeling that this would happen sooner or later, police recruitment numbers are way down all of a sudden. You know, yeah. And think about
Who wants to be a police officer?
Right. This, I hate to say it, but this would be a terrible time if this was the kind of vocation you were going into. You take a look at what's going on, you think, I don't know, I want to do that.
And I certainly understand the concern, you know, that a lot of people are expressing, and you guys talked about Colin Kaepernick earlier, you know, the disrespect that police officers have for people sometimes in the community and the fact that they shoot too soon and so on. On the other hand, this situation is not just, it's not like they're coming in and people are saying, oh, thanks for coming here, and they say, well, we're going to shoot you now. I mean, this relationship is very fraught, very tense, and it goes both ways. And I think that it's really incumbent on people who are leaders in that community, and maybe thought leaders like us, to really stress that you know, for the most part, that this relationship has to improve, and both sides are going to have to work on improving it. So,
but everybody always talks about that, but then what's the next stage? Everybody always says, well, now we can have a conversation about ... But how do you go from it being a conversation to it being an act where something actually happens?
Well, Donald Trump says he knows the answer to that.
Oh, God.
But actually, you know, in all seriousness, I mean, you know, the long-term solution is, you know, better education, better jobs, more jobs in these communities. And you know, that's the kind of thing that actually help put some meat on the bones of these conversations.
Sure.
You can have all the conversations you want. But again, I think you need to, people need to stress that the police are the bulwark against complete chaos in a lot of communities, not just the poorest communities. And that has to be remembered when you're thinking about the times that they overstep. Yes, if we can get some confidence in these communities that when they do overstep, they're disciplined.
Exactly. There has to be mutual respect on both sides.
Exactly.
Did you hear, we've had on a woman named Tamar Manasseh who runs a group called Mask, and we've had her on, I think, 3 times already. And she comes in with nothing but good intention of making her neighborhood a safer place, a more family-oriented place. And she comes up against so much opposition from so many different groups for doing essentially what everybody should be doing, which is making the community safer.
It was a year that no shooting or fighting,
right.
Like 75th and Wentworth or something. I could be off.
In an area that was fraught with it prior to this.
She's changed everything
but
in
the
community.
But she gets so much opposition
from police, from aldermen.
From business leaders, from aldermen. You can't believe what she's up against.
And if more mothers would go out there and take a neighborhood and do what she has done, she fed them in the summer when there was no safe walks during the school year where people were watching. She was out there watching all summer long. She was said she was out there every single day this summer.
Every day, yeah.
Serving them food, making it, she said it was like a family reunion.
And you say everybody's giving her a hard time?
Almost everybody.
She's had some issues with building owners don't want her setting up and giving out food at this particular location. It's on a public street, but it's in front of a particular building. She's had trouble with the police officers, although now that this building is trying to get her to move off public property, she said this has brought her closer with the police department.
Man, you know, I got to go because Steve Bertrand just walked in and I owe him money. So
I
got to get
right,
out.
Run. It's Eric Zorn. We'll talk. Thank you, Eric. We'll talk to Steve next and find out what's coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.